Beautiful day to be alive in the kingdom of God, to be in the house of God worshiping Him. I'm so glad that they let us in. I'm so glad we get to be a part, and that God doesn't care where you came from or what your last name was or your ethnicity or your bank account. He doesn't care anything about all that. He just says, let whosoever will come and drink of the waters of life freely. I'm so glad He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I'm so glad He told Abraham that in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And in every one of those places, you can say, that's me. That's me. It doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. You can lay claim to the promise of God and say, I get to come in. I get to walk through the portal of prayer. I come under the umbrella of the promise of God to Abraham that all the world is going to be blessed through him. And today, so we're excited to be in the house of God. And I have a pretty low threshold for being thankful. I'm just thankful because I woke up this morning and saw God's great sun rise up over the horizon, breathe in another breath of fresh air, thought, my, I've got a pocket full of promises from God. God has been good to me. And then don't get me started, because we'll be here all day just thanking God. How about you? You got something to be thankful for? Has God been outrageously good and kind and merciful to you? Do you have a testimony this morning? Can you say God has been better to me than He's been to anybody else? Can you say, along with Israel and Judah and all the heroes of the Word of God, that God's mercy endureth forever? It is so good to be here. We're so glad to have our visitors in the house today. Our guests, we're so glad that you came to spend a Sunday morning with us. And we want you to take your liberty. This is God's place and God's stuff. And it's His presence and it's His promise. And we're just glad to be a part of it here. So anything good we have, we'll share with anybody. And there's plenty, as Brother Prado was saying last week, and it's something that we all do believe, that living for God is not a zero-sum game. Because when someone is loved, you don't have less love. You don't get less love. There is just, the more people that are loved, the more love there is. The more mercy that gets poured out, the more mercy there is. And God's kingdom just keeps expanding. And so we're glad for everybody to come and have of the bread and have of the goodness of God. So, and Brother Jermaine did a wonderful job Wednesday night. And appreciate the church preaching with the preacher. And just wonderful, wonderful things God is doing. Looking forward to Brother John Shoemake being in the house with us next weekend for the youth explosion on Friday evening, the youth revival on Friday evening, which, by the way, it's not just for young people. Old people can come. They won't throw you out. I know, because I've come before. I crash that thing every year. They have yet to throw me out. So anyway, we're looking forward to that. It's going to be great church and a great weekend of worship. This morning, let's continue exploring in Genesis chapter 1. We're making our way into the Word of God, beginning at the beginning. Beginning at Genesis. And it's good to see Nathan and Kia sitting here together today, getting ready for this monumental decision that they're about to make. They have already made the decision, I should clarify. They're just going through the process now. And the events have overtaken you. And I could tell you now, and you would agree, it's much easier to elope. Save the money. You know that now, but it's impossible to do that. Too many people involved. So just let the process carry you like a big wave. Just get up on top of it and ride. But we're excited about apostolic young people marrying apostolic young people. And creating a new circle and a new culture and a new family. And the kingdom of God just goes on and on. So Genesis 1 and 1, we've dealt with the first few verses. We're moving on into it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God bless you as you're seated. Let's give God thanks and praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and lift you and thank you and magnify you. We pray your hand on all that we do here today. Help us to hear your word, oh God, and let it plant like seed down in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Pray for Brother Cliff. He had a burn on his leg. He got too close to a heater of some sort and set himself ablaze. And so you need to pray for him. We need him in the middle of the mix, and we need him up and going. Just pray God's healing touch upon him. Sister Robin said he's getting better, but it's just difficult to navigate public spaces. So in the beginning, God. So in summary or reflecting back where we've been thus far, in the beginning, God informs me that God needs to be in the beginning of everything. God is primary. God is first. And so we put God first in the day. We put God first in the business. We put God first in the marriage and in the home. And in everything that we do, we put God first, and we have better outcomes. Is there a witness in the house? How many of you have discovered after having done something on your own that it's better to let God in early? That's right. That's called the school of hard knocks. We don't want to go to that school. We want to learn from the word of God. In the beginning, God. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. The earth was void and dark and without form and without actualization. And it was then that the Spirit of God moved. And so the first thing you want to do if you come out of emptiness, out of void, out of darkness, if you want to be productive and full of good things, then you have to have first a moving of the Spirit of God, because Spirit is primary, because God is Spirit, John 4. And so we understand we have to have a moving of the Spirit of God. Now, that translates, for example, to a prayer, like your own prayer. The first thing you need in that prayer is not a listing of all the things that are wrong or a listing of your grievances or your troubles or what you need from God, but rather you want a moving of the Spirit of God. Now, to accomplish that, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So you need to begin, even your prayer, you need to begin with praise and earnestly worship him, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God shows up, the Spirit of God begins to move, because God is Spirit. So in the beginning, everything, we need a moving of the Spirit of God. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And in this case here of first instance, this primary case of the creation, the Spirit of God moves first. And then God says, the Word of God is the chosen mechanism that God uses to affect the natural world. He created it by the Word of God. He works on it, sustains it, changes it by the Word of God. And so that's why so much emphasis is placed on prophecy and prayer throughout the Word of God. Nothing happens except by prayer or prophecy. Nothing. Nothing changes except by prayer or prophecy. And I'm talking about in good ways, constructive ways, biblical ways. So God speaks then, and this is what starts a chain reaction of an explosion, a moving, a ground of being, an explosion of fulfillment, of potential. Life begins to break forth. And by the time you're at the end of this sequence, you have a man and a woman in harmony, in intimacy with God, walking, talking with God. And so if you want to be the person at the end of that sequence, walking and talking in harmony with God, you've got to start at the beginning. And God and the moving of his Spirit and the Word of God, and then God begins to unleash the creative acts in your life, just like he did on that lifeless, empty void covered with darkness that was the world in Genesis chapter 1. Now, the first thing God says is, let there be light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, because God speaks and his word brings forth in the natural realm. And we pursue this idea throughout the word of God that God is light. That's part of his nature. He is light. He exudes light. Light is the nature of his kingdom. His kingdom is full of light. In his presence, there is always the effect and the emergence of light and all the good things that come from God. Joy in his presence. There's fullness of joy at his right hand. Pleasures forevermore. Those things are always associated with the emergence of God and the light of God. So all of these things are attendant to his presence. And we appreciate all the good things of God. I believe we're baptizing somebody right now. So let's praise God with them as they go down in the water in Jesus' name. Praise God. I think this is a lady that came with Sister Mildred. I'm not sure. But they're praying with her right now, and she's praying, and this is a wonderful thing. Praise God. Just for information's sake, when he baptized her, he put her down in the water, and he invoked the name of Jesus on her life, just as they did in the book of Acts. Everybody that was baptized in the Bible was baptized in the name of Jesus. There was nobody in the Bible baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so we just think if you're going to do it biblically. Do it God's way. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands and lift up praise and thanks to God. So, throughout the biblical story, the narrative, there are people that receive the Holy Ghost, that receive vision, that receive revelation, that have encounters with God, and God manifests himself to them. And many times people have a visible encounter with God, and God reveals himself to them. But I want you to understand that even with the visible light that we have here today, we're just seeing a tiny, tiny part of what you would maybe call the electromagnetic spectrum. There are waves out there on each end of that spectrum that we can't see. And there is only a tiny, tiny little sliver of that continuum or that spectrum that we are, in fact, able to see. And so even when you have an encounter with God, I think the number is something like 0.0035%, something like that. It's just an incredibly infinitesimal little tiny part of the spectrum that you can see in the full array from sunlight, sunrise to sunset, in all the manifestations of light on earth. You're only seeing a tiny, tiny part. And I want you to understand this, that even if you've met God and God has appeared to you and like Paul knocked you flat of your back and burned your eyes out with the radiance of his appearing and all of that, even if you've done that, you've only seen a tiny, tiny sliver of what God is and who God is. And you're just beginning your journey into God. Now, the American Christian experience is marked and kind of characterized by shallowness and a lack of hunger for the things of God. But I'll tell you this, if you have met God, you're just getting started. If you've walked for God for 10 years, you're just getting started. It's going to take an eternity to press into the who and the why and the where and the how and all of the wonderful features of this God who goes on and on for eternity. And it just blows my mind that people want to drive through shallow experience and they just want a simple, I believe it in my heart type of experience. And then they think, I've got that done. It's off my checklist. And now I can go on and live my life. I want you to know God is immense and God is eternal and God never ends. And when you've seen a tiny little segment of God, it may fill your life. It may change your life tremendously. But there is so much more of God to explore, so much more of God to know. So as we're exploring this, and the exploration is endless, the way that we press into more of God is that we utilize the portals that God has made available. And so the only portals that I know of are prayer and praise or worship and the Word of God. And every time you open the Word of God, I just want you to know, if you go home today and your house is a hovel and your life is in tatters and you're living under a time of tremendous darkness in in your life, and maybe your life would be described sort of like that first chapter of Genesis world, dark and empty and covered up and not producing anything. Maybe your life is like that. I want you to know this. You go home. You're in this house today, but you go home. You open up the Word of God, and I'm just going to tell you this. Light will begin to pour out of that book and come into your life, and when it does, it has the power to begin to change everything in your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. And another portal, if you would, a way into the things of God is prayer. In this service today, as you begin to pray, as they're praying back here in the baptistry and as they're worshiping back here in the baptistry, they are opening a portal. It's like you can just be sitting at a bus stop somewhere, kind of looking like Eddie right now, just kind of sitting there waiting on the bus, which reminds me of a funny story, but I don't have time to tell you right now. So you're sitting there waiting for the bus. If you, in that innocuous situation, just random and totally divorced from church or church activity or ecclesiastical activity, if you at that place just begin to lift up your hands and begin to say, God, I need you in my life. God, I'm looking for you. God, I want you to come and talk to me. You know he's not far from any one of us, the scripture says, and as soon as you begin to pray, God begins to move on your behalf. I want you to know in that moment, that bus stop begins to light up, and that man begins to light up, and his life begins to light up, because light comes when God shows up. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so the Word of God is a portal into the things of God, and prayer is a portal into the things of God. And we could study a long, long period of time on all of these. And worship is very much like prayer. It also is a portal. Worship and praise are portals into the presence of God and into light. So every time you begin to worship and praise and magnify, light begins to flood into your house. So if you are oppressed, you need to worship God. If you are depressed, you need to worship God. There was a spirit on Saul that came to oppress him and trouble him. And the servant said, if you bring somebody in here that can praise God, that this situation will be rectified. And they went and got the son of Jesse, a young boy named David. He came, he began to play and to worship. And the evil spirit from the Lord had to leave that room, had to leave that place. I just want you to know right now, if you'll begin to worship and praise God, don't tell me you're not worthy. Don't tell me you don't know how. Don't tell me you weren't raised that way. Just tell me about all your trouble. I'm telling you about the answer to all your trouble. You can begin to praise and worship God right now. I don't care if you robbed a bank and the money's in the back of your car right now. If you begin to praise and magnify God, light will begin to flow into your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you did rob that bank, we're gonna fix you up. You're going to get the Holy Ghost, get baptized. Then you got to take the money back. And no, I don't want you to pay tithes on it. Not your increase. That's somebody else's increase. So, but we use portals. We pray and light comes. And we open the book, the Word of God, and light comes. We worship and light comes to us. Light, in the natural world. Now, the light there in Genesis 1 was not sunlight. We are fundamentalists. I don't care how smart you are. You're not smarter than God. I believe what the Word of God says. The sun, moon, and stars are not created until the fourth day. The first day, light comes. And it is light that will sustain the third day's vegetation. Photosynthesis takes place with the light of God. But that's not a shock. You get down to the end of the book, and in that city, there's no need of sun and moon because the Lamb is the light thereof. So the glory of God, the sun is just imitating the light of God. It's radiating. It's wonderful. And isn't God great in all his creative power? But there is a light greater than the sunlight. Paul said, I saw a light. It was at noon that he saw a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. And what he encountered was the light of God. Now, that's what God made on the first day. Light, biblically, light is vision. Light is real. in its impact. When the angels came and sang, there was the glory of the Lord, or light shining round about them. When Moses was with God on Mount Sinai, he came down. He had been irradiated to the degree that he was shining. And they wanted him to put a bag on his head because it freaked them all out, because they didn't want to be that close to the divine. And so when he would go out and talk to the people, he put a veil over his face. But not only is that like radiation of some sort, but you can absorb the glory of God, apparently. According to the Word of God. But light throughout the Word of God is real. It is it dispels darkness, or it dispels the absence of light. It is revelatory. It is revelation. It is likened to wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And see, we use that all through our culture. It's axiomatic. It's woven into the language. It's people sing in church about, I saw the light, I saw the light. And you know what they mean. They're talking about, now I understand, now I understand. But the world uses that terminology, and it may be their Judeo-Christian framing, but it's still a widely known and accepted thing that when you come into the light, you come into understanding. Well, it is exactly like that in the kingdom of God. It has an energy of its own, and it is synonymous with life. Just like the earth would be a dead ball, a dead rock without sunlight on it right now, the light that comes every day from the sun creates and gives energy to and brings forth life in the earth. The light of God brings forth life. The light of God, as it emerges in a man's life, in a woman's life, in a marriage, in a home with your children, in a church full of people that are hungry for God, when the light of God begins to come, life begins to break forth. And God said, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I want you got to read this in John chapter 1. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so when you're receiving light from God, that's the intermediary, that's the mechanism. But what you're really receiving is the life of God pouring into your mind and your spirit, your relationships, and so forth. So by persisting in the pursuit, they're just having church in the baptistry area today. They just won't quit. I think I've seen two go down, and this might be the third one. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, they've got the water going. I turned the baptistry on, the warmer on, about 6:45 this morning, and it's toasty in there, and you can have all your sins washed away this morning. So, I mean, why wait? Go now. Repent on the way. I'm just telling you what's available to you. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. Every one of you, Peter said. And Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized, Mark 16, shall be saved. I was raised in a church where they taught you baptism didn't matter, but the Word of God says baptism matters. Ananias told Paul, what are you waiting for? Get up and wash away your sins. Be baptized and wash away your sins. Do you know what baptism does? It washes your sins away. If it washes your sins away, then that's where the blood is applied. If you ever wondered when Calvary happens to you, Calvary happens to you when you say yes and you go down in the water in Jesus' name. Peter teaches that it's just like the flood of Noah. He said, wherein few souls, eight souls were saved by water. A like figure whereunto baptism even does now also save us. I had a man tell me, he said, I don't believe baptism saves you. I said, well, read that. And he read just what I just told you. And it says, and baptism does now also save us. And he closed his Bible and said, I still don't believe that. Because his tradition, even though he wanted to be Christian, his tradition was stronger than his devotion to the Word of God. If that's the truth about you, you're in deep trouble. because you can't prize mom and dad and grandparents and tradition over the things of God as expressed by the Word of God. So, by pursuing the things of God, and in this study, the light of God, we actually literally create a culture. There is a byproduct of light in the life of an individual or a home, family, marriage, so forth. So here's Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Some of you, this was maybe the first maybe passage of scripture that you memorized. But blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you got to get away from all those types. That's called repentance. You get away from those things that are not light, but they are darkness. Get away from those things that are not like God, but they're like the world. But his delight, what he really loves, is his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day or night, that day and night. He is devoted to the portal. He's devoted to God, and this is the way that I get to God. I press in through prayer. I press in through the Word of God. And his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's just on his mind all the time. You people, you're in church all the time. All you do is talk about God. And then when you're away from there, you're in Bible studies. And then you want to talk about what church was like. When you're away from church, you want to talk about church. And when you're away from Bible study, you want to talk about Bible study. And then you want to talk about the people. And then you want to hang out with the people from your church. And so you're just strange like that. Well, we are. We've created a culture. And we've created there's a byproduct of walking in the light. But this is the compelling thing about this passage. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You get yourself involved in the things of God and you explore the light of God. Let it pour into your life. You will be planted. You will be rooted. You will not be some vagabond. You will not be blown around by everything. You will have a solid foundation and you will be nurtured by a continual flow of living water. Now, that's what the Word of God says. You begin to prize and to value the things of God, and there's a byproduct of that. There's real change that comes to you. Is there a witness in the house today? The fact that God nurtures you and plants you and that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If you're frustrated, if you chase yourself in circles, if your dreams don't ever pan out, I want you to know something. You attach your dreams to God's dreams. You attach your agenda to God's agenda. You let the things of God begin to be more important than the things of this world, and God begins to produce a product and a process in your life that I'll guarantee you, you will be satisfied with. Is there a witness here today of that? Has God been good to you? And are you willing to testify, my God did a better job with my life than I ever would have done on my own? Praise God. So that passage there in Psalms 1 is kind of like what life in the light looks like. It looks like constantly in the Word of God, constantly in prayer. Leaves don't wither. The fruit comes in its season. A constant flow of nurture in your life and stability. Those are valuable things and prized things and things the world really would like to seek after, but they don't associate it with the kingdom of God. But I'll just tell you this, you can't find this anywhere but in the kingdom of God. And it's the only thing that's going to last. So his light, God's light, which I think the sun is probably a creative metaphor for the light of God. The earth is dead, cold, unproductive. My life without God is dead and cold and unproductive. And so the very energy of life comes to me from God. So light is part of a relationship. It's inherent with the relationship with God. It is an established fact in the life of the kingdom of God. And so here's what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 4. But the path of the just means you do what the Word of God says. You live like the Word of God indicates. Is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. As you make your way into the kingdom of God, the light gets greater and greater. The high water mark of your experience is not the day you pray through and get baptized. It's not the day you meet God and make your... This thing gets better and richer and deeper and more productive and more fulfilling the further you go. Is there a witness for that? Is there somebody here that can say that is the truth? Shines more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked isn't as darkness. The wicked is... Wickedness is doing what God doesn't want you to do. So if you are wicked, you are in darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Their life keeps cracking up. They keep failing. If I could just get another husband, if I could just get another wife, if I could just get another whatever, if I could just have a better this or a better that, once I achieve this or that, but you've missed it altogether because you can't know yourself, nor can you know life or anyone else without a connection with God, without knowing God. A wise man said this: every enterprise is limited to the size and quality of the driving and guiding vision behind it. Everything is determined by vision. And no enterprise is greater than its undergirding vision. Your life, your home, your family, your career, none of those things are going to be any better than your capacity for vision in the kingdom of God. Vision in this sense, and what we're looking at, and the light that came on that first day, is simply seeing as God sees. It's seeing you, for example, as God sees you. Life as God sees life. Earth life as God sees earth life. Others as God sees others. Family as God sees family. Marriage as God sees marriage. You know, there is, for every feature in the earth, there is a heavenly reality, a heavenly template, God's purposed way, God's plan or God's design. Nothing's been the same since the fall, since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And so everything is perfect in God's plan and in God's vision, but man lives down here in the nether worlds of darkness and distortion and brokenness and sin. And so if I can see it as God sees it, then I can attain unto what God has purposed. If I have no way of seeing that, then my reference points and my framing is all worldly, is all earthly. And so God has placed potential in every one of us. God has given you a vast and an untapped potential. You can't know how great yet, because you're not old enough. But as the story unfolds, the closer you are to Him and the more accurately you see what God sees, the greater potential you have to actualize God's plan for your life. So seeing yourself as God sees you becomes really, really an important part of this discussion about light. Because it has to begin with you, because God deals with individuals and He has a special dispensation of light and vision for you. Paul does it this way. He reaches back from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reaches all the way to Genesis chapter 1, and he tells us that the very thing God did to that lump of dark, formless earth is the very same thing He does in your heart when He comes and shines His light in you. God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, has now commanded His light to shine unto our hearts so that we can know the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The enemy's all against that. The enemy hates that idea. But what Paul's teaching is that God sees you as that unfulfilled, untapped, pre-creative world that dwells in darkness. And the first thing He's going to do is come and overshadow you, speak in your life, bring forth light. Light, boom, and then you can begin to see things the way that God sees things. How does God see you? I want you to know God's not looking at you right now seeing you as, well, that's a loser, that person's bad, that person's awful, because God's not looking at the present earthly reality of what you are. God's looking at what He can make you and what He has intended for you to be. I'm just telling you right now, if you feel like God's looking at you with a baseball bat in his hand, you've got the wrong God. God came a long way and went to a lot of trouble to pour out every last drop of his life and his blood to redeem you. And I want you to know, he didn't do that for junk. He didn't do that for a waste. He didn't do that for something of no value. Poured out his life because you are of great value. I don't care who told you otherwise. Your mama, your daddy, whoever told you otherwise, they lie. But God is true. God died for you because you are of great value in the eyes of God. So the starting place for you is light, but you have to see the light and you have to embrace the light, because we have this pernicious capacity to resist the things of God. But you have to engage. The catalyst in this is your will and your volition, and you have to say yes to God. You can't walk away and say, no, that's not me. I can't be that, and I can't become that, or that's not possible in my life. Well, that's for others, but somebody's holding me down, or I can't achieve, or I can't become. But that's all a lie. You can. There's an invisible reality, and you've got a God-given potential, and you are precious, and you are valuable, and you are worth dying for. Sister Bonnie sings about that. When he comes to Gideon, he comes to Gideon, and it's like, we'll personalize it here. Michael, thou mighty man of valor. Well, you know what Gideon did. Gideon began to give him all the reasons why that could not be true. I live in the wrong neighborhood. I come from the wrong family. I'm from the smallest tribe. You got the wrong guy, God. But God was talking to Gideon as per God's vision for Gideon, not to the existential reality down here on earth life level. But when he calls Michael, he says, Michael, thou mighty man of valor. I don't care what the circumstance is, where you came from, what you don't have, the support you might not have, all the things that you may be lacking, none of that matters when we're dealing with God, because God will give you everything that pertains to life and godliness, and God will get you to the desired vision if you'll just say yes to God. Somebody say amen. Well, that's right. So to Gideon, he called him a mighty man of valor. Gideon, it took him a minute to begin to see himself as God saw him. But it is imperative today that you let God turn on the lights, and you have to embrace what the light reveals. The light will reveal that you can be like God. The light may reveal some things you need to let go of, some things that you need to walk away from, some things that you need, because those are the things, the collection of things, the framing of things that tell you otherwise than what God has said. And you may need to walk away from those. That's what repentance is. Repentance is saying, that's not like God. This is what God says. It may be your mama or your daddy or your grandparents, but Jesus said you got to hate your mama and your daddy and your brothers and your sisters and even your own life. You got to walk out of that pre-established house of the familiar, and you've got to walk into the new house of God's potential for your life. Let God turn on the lights for you. Praise God. And until you see you, you can't work well with others. You know, in God's record book, it says, doesn't play well with others. You know, but the problem there is not others. And it just gets all tangled up. But at the first level, you can't see you until you see God. And then you can't see nor play well with others until you see yourself. And that's when Jesus said, love your neighbor as, you can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. You can't love yourself unless you see yourself. You can't relate to others, and you will continually have problems with others, and the problem is not the other, the problem is in you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. And you know, Jesus will never let you do that. He'll never let you bring your grievance to him and blame the other guy. Peter's tired of hearing Jesus say, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He said, what about him? He points to John. And Jesus said, that's none of your business. What if I said he's never going to die? That's none of your business. You can't shrug off If you bring a legitimate claim to God about something somebody else has done, he's going to tell you something you need to change about yourself. He is an insufferable broken record. He will never, ever say, you're right, that guy's an idiot. He'll never do that. He'll always say, well, here's something you can do to improve you. Like, thanks, God. That's why some people don't pray. That's why Jonah ran away. God, he just keeps on demanding, you know? So, we've got to stop here at some point. You've got lunch waiting. So, the world, I'm not either, Siri.
Siri speaking for a multitude of people. I'm not sure what you're saying.
It's really crazy how perfect that timing is sometimes. So, the whole world in the sight of God is a field that he's willing to buy. Pour out the last perfect measure of life and purchase, because he sees a treasure in the field. And so God loves the world. God loves people. God loves you. Life. These are bits of information that have tremendous power. They are light in a dark place, in the darkness of your mind and heart, in the darkness of your home and family, in the darkness of a city. I believe that the light of God can come to one home, one family, open up, expand. I believe an entire city can be changed if people begin to invest in the truth of God and let the light of God. What did he call the church? What did he say you were? You are the light of the world. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't hide it away somewhere. Praise God. So when man fell into sin, man fell into darkness. He fell away from the light. And darkness became normative. And vision became extraordinary. It became abnormal, rare. But every major biblical movement is preceded by vision and by light. Abraham has to come out of his tent and look up into the house of God, full of lights. He said, count those. Count those. Moses has this incredible experience with a burning bush. Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Zechariah got a word for Zerubbabel, and it was candlesticks. It was the emblem of revelation and light that would be the menorah, that would be in the temple and in the tabernacle. Here, Zechariah saw it in a heavenly vision, because there's one in the heavens. And he said, this is the word of God to Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith God. Prophecy is seeing, and biblical vision is seeing as God sees. It's turning on the light. How many of you sing Amazing Grace? Have you ever sung Amazing Grace? Yeah. So you sang the line, I once was blind, but now I see. Are you a liar? Have you ever been blind? Have you ever had the white cane and the dog and everything? No, you lie. You've never been blind. Well, what does it mean? It means now I see God. Now I see the kingdom of God. Now I see God's way. Now I see God's word. And now I have revelation. And now I have understanding. And so, you know, it's imperative that you see this. Your potential is not defined by how the world sees you and says you're not defined by your own, even your own doubt and your own fear. You're not defined by that. Your potential is established in the vision of God. When the lights come on in your life, something's going to change. And you need that. So you need to come out of the dark places that you're living. Come out of the darkness of your present experience in your home or your family. And just come and see what God says about who you are and how it can be and what kind of changes God can make in your life. Open the book of God. Light explodes. Make your way into the portal of prayer. Light will explode in your life. Learn how to worship God. I say learn how to worship God because I was raised up in a church. I was there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I was there for Royal Ambassadors. I was there for Sunday night when the whole world was watching Bonanza. And I was at Training Union. And I won't bother describing it to you, but it wasn't full of light. It was, but I was there, but nobody knew the book. Nobody knew how to pray, and nobody taught me how to worship. I was amazed when we opened up the Word of God and saw David dancing down Main Street like Daffy Duck. David worshiping God, and God was pleased, and the world was not, and he was being extraordinary, extravagant in his worship, leaping and running and dancing. And it was like you couldn't move in the church I was raised. You couldn't speak. Nobody said amen. They called it reverence. My mom enforced it with the back of a hand. You didn't move. But then I looked at the Word of God, and it said, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Praise him. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. It said, praise him on the cymbals and praise him on the stringed instruments and praise him on the organs and praise him with the timbrel and praise him with the dance. I was amazed. I was similarly amazed when I saw in the book of Acts that people received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. My church didn't study the book of Acts. They didn't teach me that in RA, and they never taught me to memorize. I memorized a lot of scripture, but I never memorized Acts chapter 2 for some reason. They didn't do Acts chapter 2. They didn't do the Holy Ghost, and they didn't do demons. We had a phone call one time. Do you guys do demons? We said, well yeah, I mean, yeah. Why? Well, because I've been to churches. They don't do demons. I said, well, you come on over here. We'll take care of that. I mean, if it's in the Word of God, that's what we do. So open the book. Learn how to pray. Learn how to worship. It's going to take you a minute. You need a home Bible study as soon as Brother Cliff heals up. We'll hook you up. Pray for the infirm. Praise God. Brother Samuel, come and play something wonderful and stimulating and compelling. Praise God. When you learn to pray and worship, you're doing in the initial stages as Abraham did. You don't really know where you're going. The Bible says that he went not knowing where he went. God said, I'll show you, but you got to go first. It's like, well, God, I mean, which way do I even go if you're going to show me after I start going? But I read in the Word of God that he directs your path and he orders your step. And so he, at a certain juncture in his life, when he had gone and he got some things right that he had been leaving out of God's command, God said, now, I want you to look east and west and north and south. You need to see this promise, this land. God has a promise for everybody in this house today. God has a promise for everybody in this house, and it's bigger than anything you can imagine. I don't even have to know you to know that. He said, Abram, look east, west, north, and south, because the first thing you have to do is to see. You've got to see what I have for you. God needs to turn on the lights for you today. He said, then, Abram, I want you to begin to walk up and down in it, in the length and in the breath of it. I mean, I want you to walk all over this place that I've got for you. So when you first start in the Word of God, your knowledge of it is very small, very limited, very traditional perhaps, very, very locked into a certain sphere of theology. But you need to press through the boundaries of that and go out into the length and breadth and depth and height of the Word of God. You need to look all over the Word of God and see the promises that are there for you. I'm just telling you right now, God has something wonderful for every person in this house today. Praise God. He said, if you'll come to me, I am the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now, all of this that God has for you, it's not going to happen today. I will tell you that an altar experience can be profound and can be powerful. And you can feel the motive force as God is launching you into a brand new season of life. You can feel that in an altar. But you're still going to have to look east, west, north, south. You're going to have to see it, comprehend it, embrace it. And then you're going to have to walk up and down in it, which speaks of process. And it has a time component associated with it. It's going to take you some time. It might take a few years to really know your way up and down in the Word of God. It took Israel 2 years at Sinai to become Israel. It took Jesus' disciples 3 years to become disciplined or to become his disciples. And they were still in Acts chapter 1 asking ridiculous questions. It takes a minute. The depth, the breadth, the height of what God has for you, you can get launched into today. You need to lay down your previous experience. Say, God, I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm going to seek you. But you need to understand this. The fullness of it is not going to fall on you today. You can receive the Holy Ghost today. But the Holy Ghost is something that you have to learn to walk up and down in. And to learn how to be at home in. And how to let God's Spirit have its way with you. It takes a while for all that to happen. Praise God. But is there a witness in the house? Somebody that can say, but the Word of God has opened to me now. And after some time, I'm learning my way around in the Spirit of God. And God is leading me and guiding me into all truth. Let's stand together today. Praise God. John said, this is the message which we've heard of him, declare unto you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Don't use God as like a little security card in your pocket. Man, I've sat with people in terrible places and talking to them, and they'll say, oh, I know Jesus. Yeah, I got it. Me and Jesus. I know him. And they're just saying it like they've got a security blanket or something. And they're saying, don't fool with my security blanket. Because if I don't have that, I don't have anything. And I'm scared out of my wits. Well, let me help you rip away that security blanket today. Because it's not going to work in eternity. And it won't keep you out of hell. And it won't make your life different today. Just be open and honest and say, I don't know a thing about what you're talking about, but I really want to know about it. I want to have a life full of good things in God. I want the Word of God to come to pass in my life. This altar is open right now. You can come and you can meet him. He will move on you by his Spirit, and he will turn the lights on. Depending on you, he can take you a long way in an altar service, but he can start you on a journey that will change your life. Church, let's pray. Church, let's pray. Somebody that wants more of God, come to this altar. Somebody that would love to have God turn on the lights, to be able to see, to be able to know God's plan and promise, come to this altar this morning. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, come right now. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you'll know it because you'll begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Somebody come onto this altar right now. When you come, just take somebody's hand or lay your hand on somebody. Begin to knit together. One of you can set 1,000 to flight. Two of you can set 10,000 to flight.